The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
I'm on the Pat Kenny Show for our Friday forum. With us this week, we've got Roisin Shortall, the co-leader of the Social Democrats, and Minister of State at the Department of Higher Education, Niall Collins. We'll get to them in just a minute, but of course, Ulster Bank customers have been absorbing the news today that the bank is going to wind down and that they are looking for a new bank for when that happens. Casey O'Riordan of the Newsroom has been speaking to Ulster Bank customers in North County Dublin.
Jeez, I'm with them since I went to work in the airport.
How long's that?
Nearly 50 something years. And now I'll have to change the whole lot, yeah. At my age, nearly 83 next birthday.
I'm sure it's a bit of a hassle and a bit of the customers I feel more for the staff. Well, I hope they get looked after, the staff.
I just went in there to check a lodgement and very disappointed. You know, I've been with them for 30 odd years, you know, but disappointed for the staff as well. But
and would you know the staff?
Like? Oh, I know them all personally. Yeah, Jennifer, Nolan up there, Colette, Mairead. I do an awful lot of, I do fundraising up in River Valley. They'd be good enough even to give you, you know, the big checks to write it out and all that kind of stuff. It's a personal touch with them.
I saw it a while ago, so I set up one in KBC a while ago, so I kind of I prepped for it, but thankfully enough I don't have a mortgage or anything with them, so it's not too bad. But yeah, I feel sorry for the older people because it'd be a bit of a change to them, because changing a bank and online.
Have you banked with them long?
Ever since I was a kid, yeah, so it's been the one bank I had, so yeah.
Do you remember the Henry Hippo?
Yeah. All the adverts back in the day and enticing kids to get in and set up bank accounts. But sure, it is what it is. It's a business at the end of the day, and if it's losing money, it's losing money. Like,
I was always jealous I never had a Henry Hippo. Roisin Shortall, to you first of all, that just gives you a sense of the upheaval, and people have been focusing rightly on the staff and what happens to them and questions of mortgages and so on. But at a very basic level, this is going to be a pain in the backside for the customers who now need to move.
Good morning, Jonathan. Yes, there's no doubt about that. It's very disruptive and disappointing where people have built up relationships with Ulster Bank branches locally. And, you know, we've seen an awful lot of branches closing all around the country from all banks. And it's harder and harder to actually get to speak to somebody in a bank or to see them face to face. So it is disappointing, and it's certainly worrying for staff. But overall, I think it's a very bad move from the consumer's point of view. You know, the less choice we have and the less competition we have, the worse it will be for consumers. I think it's just important that a clear message goes out today, because it goes out to customers of Ulster Bank not to make any rash decisions. This is going to be a slow wind down. Mm. And my concern is that some people might think they should switch their mortgage, and it would be very bad to do that, because you would lose the conditions that you have at the moment. If the mortgage book is bought, which is likely to happen, by another bank, well, then you'll be entitled to the same conditions that you have at the moment. But overall, it's bad for banking, and there is a need for better choice and better competition.
Niall Collins, the question that really has to be asked, and a lot of people texting News Talk today are asking the question, is why? Why has Ulster Bank decided to do this? Why has Royal Bank of Scotland, the parent company, said Ireland is no longer worth having a banking entity under our steering? So, can you answer that? Why do you think this has been done, and what does it say about the state of our banking?
Good morning still. Look, that is the question, and Ulster Bank have to answer that directly as to why they have taken a decision. I read their statement this morning, and it's indicating that it's a commercial decision. You know, this bank isn't failing. It's not a fire sale. They are saying they're taking this decision for commercial reasons. We see similar problems in the insurance sector in Ireland, where we don't have enough of competition. And this ultimately is going to be the fallout from it, the fact that we will have less competition in the banking sector in Ireland. And we have to have commercial competition from service providers like banks. And unfortunately, when we have a diminished number of banks operating across the landscape, that's really, really worrying. Obviously, it's worrying for the staff and for customers. They have said in their statement, which I've read this morning, that they're going to do this in an orderly fashion, and that they're going to engage with their customers and with their staff and with all their stakeholders. And that is right and proper. Look, I mean, I don't know. Is it down to the critical mass size of our country in terms of population and all of that? These are commercial decisions which
here,
are outside.
Hang on, they've been here 160 years trading quite well to this point. Now they're gone and we're left with a couple of banks that are part-owned by the state, some private operators, some new banks coming in. It's not the healthy landscape that we want. And I have to say, it turns to you as government that you have to do something about it.
Yeah, look, I mean, certainly government is aware of it. I heard the Minister for Finance, Pascal Donoghue, speak in relation to this and Minister for Public Expenditure, Michael McGrath, in relation to it. We have shareholdings, as we know, we've 71% in AIB and a small shareholding in Bank of Ireland. It's just that it's a shareholding and it's something that we will have to realise a dividend and a benefit from ultimately by virtue of having to step in at that point in time. Okay. It's not the business of government to run banks or to get into owning banks. We want to try and foster a culture where banks and insurers will come into this country and offer our consumers real choice and real competition.
OK. Niall Collins, I have to put it to you that the government appears to be trying to outleak itself this week in an attempt to get the higher ground, even on the parties that they're in coalition with. The Taoiseach's announcement last night to Ciara Phelan in the Irish Daily Mirror, which was a great story for their front page this morning, that lockdown might extend into May. Ministers didn't seem to have too much of an indication of that when they were doing other interviews this morning. We heard the Minister for Children, Roderick O'Gorman, saying that it was actually going to be the first couple of years of primary school who are going to be going back on the 1st of March, instead of hearing that from Norma Foley. And Leo Varadkar has been accused of leaking a lot to try and embarrass your party, Fianna Fáil. Is there an absolutely incoherent communications message coming out of government, and is that not very damaging?
No, I don't think so. Look, I mean, the process for government making a decision, as we know, in relation to public health issues, you know, there's a cabinet, NPHET meets, the cabinet COVID subcommittee meets, and ultimately the cabinet meets and makes a decision, and that's communicated. It is a feature of...
Did you know that it was going to extend out to May, the level 5 restrictions, before the Taoiseach gave it in the interview last night?
Well, I don't know, has that decision formally been taken? I didn't hear or see his interview, so you're blindsiding me a small bit. I saw it, I've read it reported.
It's on the front page of the Irish Daily Mirror this morning. I mean, I doubt he's being misquoted.
Okay, well, look, I haven't read all of the front pages of the papers this morning, but suffice to say this, I don't think it will come as a surprise that the level of restrictions is going to remain in place for the foreseeable future, for the foreseeable number of weeks.
I hate to butt in, but to answer my question, you didn't know that before Micheál Martin, your party leader, said it last night in an interview?
Well, I heard him, for example, I heard him interviewed on my own local radio station, Limerick's Live 95 FM, yesterday morning, where that exact question was put to him. And he said that it's likely that the restrictions will extend out well into April and possibly early May. So, look, you know, he was giving a view and a collective decision will be taken. I don't think we need to get ourselves off.
Wait a second. He's the Taoiseach. It's not his job to give a view. It's his job to lead, surely. I'll let you come back to that, Niall Collins. Róisín Shortall, is this how you'd run a pandemic if you were Taoiseach?
Look, absolutely not, Jonathan. The communications from government are just atrocious at the moment. And it's completely unacceptable that in the midst of a serious crisis that we're in the country, that the Taoiseach should give critical information telling people that we're going to be in this lockdown for at least the next 9 weeks, and that is done by way of an exclusive interview with a newspaper. Now, Ciara Phelan got a good story, no reflection whatsoever on her, but it's not the way to do business, and it's not the way for decision-making to take place in government. We're seeing this more and more. You know, we have government announcement by parliamentary party leak. This happens every Wednesday night now. Both Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have their parliamentary parties. Their party leaders say something and that is leaked and reported then as the government announcement. And it's no way to do business.
To me, Roisin, it almost seems like there's journalists on those Zoom calls because it's being leaked in virtual real time.
Yeah, it's verbatim reporting, as it's being said at the parliamentary party meetings. And the indications are is that that is a deliberate ploy now by both parties, and that's how they get news out. But, you know, the important thing in this is that we are in the middle of a crisis. We need a clear strategy to get out of this crisis. There needs to be a pathway set out for getting out of lockdown. Saying to people, we're going to continue with the same for the next 9 weeks at least. Really, I think when people heard that, their hearts just sank. And we cannot have more of the same, Jonathan. We have to have a new approach.
We know there is a plan that we are told is on the way, but this preempted the plan, Niall Collins. And would it not have been better to let the plan come out, people to absorb that, and then tell us, well, look, it could be May. It really depends on how we get on. That probably would have been better.
Yeah, so the Living with COVID plan is being revised and is being updated. It was always described as a document, as a living document, which is subject to change and will have to change and react to the circumstances. So I go back to what I said to you earlier, Jonathan. I don't think this will come as a surprise to people that the present level of restrictions will pertain for the foreseeable number of weeks, given the potent and virulent nature of the variant of COVID-19. And we know that the...
May is the date. May is the word that people hear more than anything else.
Look, I mean, it wasn't, you know, in the last number of weeks, we've had Roisin and others talking about zero COVID, taking a zero COVID approach. And what would that mean? It would mean far beyond May. So let's not try and have our cake and eat it here and have the argument on all sides. The government is dealing with the situation on a daily basis. It's a dynamic, challenging situation.
As I pointed out yesterday on this radio programme, go on very quickly because I have one more question about schools to go.
Let's not second guess the intelligence of the public here. The public can read the data, can read the figures, and the public know and appreciate, in my view, that this is going to go on for a foreseeable number of weeks.
The public are very frustrated from what I've seen here this morning. And as I said yesterday, I wouldn't fancy being in government right now where you guys are. One last question. Can you give clarity to parents this morning of young children? It was, first of all, junior and senior infants. Now it might be first and second class. Who is going back on the 1st of March?
Yeah, well, that decision will be taken and communicated next Tuesday, I understand, at the cabinet meeting. No decision has formally been taken yet in relation to it.
But is there a plan to bring back first and second class?
I understand that there will be an order of return. Obviously, leaving certs will be the highest of priority. And I would imagine, based on public health advice, our younger children in primary school would be deemed to be in the less risky category in terms of movement of population and all of the consequences potentially in relation to that. So all of that will be decided and communicated next week. No formal decision has been taken in relation to it.
Unless, of course, it's leaked out at some stage between now and then. Niall Collins, Minister of State at the Department of Higher Education and Social Democrats TD for Dublin North West, Roisin Shortall. Thank you.